So if you would just turn to 2 Timothy, got a number of scriptures today. If you have your Bible, you can kind of move around in them with me. And I would like to talk about this word in 2 Timothy chapter 3. It's just simply the word purpose, okay? And In 2 Timothy chapter 3, Paul says to Timothy, and here's the deal. Timothy is a mentor. Timothy is the mentoree. Paul is the mentor. Paul's the older guy who's been walking in faith, and then a younger guy comes along, and the younger guy needs to be mentored. He needs to be taught along. You know why? Because sometimes we as younger men don't have the influence that we need. And God can use older people who've walked in the faith, men and women, to mentor us and to help us. Because walking by faith, is it easy? No, walking by faith is hard. Trusting God when things, like we just prayed, you know, God, you're good when things are good, and you're good when things are bad in our life. And we need people, and that's what I am so thankful for, is that through the terrific difficulties that our church family has gone through. I mean, we could give up along the way. But people don't give up. People know that God is and that God is faithful. Does it mean that it doesn't hurt? Oh, man, sometimes the crisis hurts so deeply. But we know that God is faithful. And so we've got Paul, who is the older Christian man, and we're going to see the drama of his salvation. But he is talking to Timothy, a younger Christian guy who wants to follow God and give his life to serve God as well. And Paul says in this little letter, these simple words. Go back a chapter or a verse. It says, but Paul is speaking and he's talking to Timothy. He says, but you have carefully followed my doctrine, and we looked at that a little, and you've followed my manner of life. So it's not only what to believe, but now we've talked about how to behave as a follower of God. And then the next word is purpose. And so Timothy has observed Paul's life, and he has observed that he has gone through a lot. And Timothy is grasping something about the purpose with which Paul lives his life. Because as we know that God's put this purpose into us, right? I asked the earlier service, you know, before you were a follower of Jesus, you had a purpose. And the purpose could have been fine. But when God came into your life, did your purpose change in some ways? It does. Your purpose dramatically changes, and we're gonna take a look at that. So yesterday, Brian Beeler right there, and me, and about, I don't know, 10 other guys from our families, and a few thousand others ran in this Spartan race. It may sound glorious, but I'm exhausted.
Everyone needs to give Jim a round of applause.
Yeah. Yeah. So, but here's the deal, right? So we all get up to our starting time. Our starting time was 9 o'clock. And the starting line is right there by the doors. So we have to get to the starting line. But before you get to the starting line, there's a 5-foot wall of lumber with no stairs or anything you have to get over, right? And everybody's charged up and ready to go. And so they jump over the wall. And I'm left on the other side. And so I got all my boys up there. And everybody's up there. And I'm thinking, man, I have got to get. I can't be stopped in my purpose before I ever get to the starting line. You know. And so I tried the, it's about here. Wasn't it about 5 feet? Something like that. I'm going to try to put myself up so I can get over the wall. And I couldn't get myself up to this place. So I'm literally, talk about the motivation of peer pressure. You got all these people who are there, and I mean, there was about 200 in each gate as they went out, 200 every 15 minutes, right? And so I scaled the wall, man. I got my leg up over it, and I got over the top and got down. But man, you know, that's what happens in our life, is that we have purpose and we have a plan, and then we get roadblocks, right? And they tried to slow us down as often as they could, from crawling through mud and gravel under barbed wire to being shot with a fire hose to carrying loads up a mountain and all kinds of things. But that is what happens. So we set a purpose, and we set this purpose, and roadblocks come along our way. And what do we do with those roadblocks? What do we do with those roadblocks, and how do we handle them? So the first thing that I wanted to do in this idea of purpose was to talk about the fact that God has a purpose. And back in Ecclesiastes chapter 3, it says that there is a time and a purpose for everything. We know as believers that God is in control. And the scriptures tell us he has a purpose for everything. He has a purpose in the time of our birth, and he has a purpose in the time of our death. And he has a purpose in hardship, and he has a purpose in joy. And really, the big crux of the matter is, how do we trust him in our purpose unfolding? And again, there's a difference between kind of our purpose that we can conjure up and his purpose, right, that he has for our life. And they often don't match. You know, we have these pipe dreams, purpose we're going to accomplish. And then God says, no, I'm going to take you a different route, you know, along the way. So God has a purpose. Isaiah 14 talks about the Lord's purpose. In Job 42, the end of Job, when Job is interacting with God, it says that about God's purposes, that no purposes can be withheld. What God wants to unfold is going to unfold. And the real, again, crux of the matter here is that we believe him in that. In Romans 9, and we just can't read all these scriptures, but in Romans 9, there is the story of Abraham and Sarah. And we go over Abraham and Sarah's lives a lot, but God made a promise to Abraham and Sarah. And the promise was that they would what? They would have a child. The problem is that, so the purpose that God has for them is that they're going to have this child, and from the seed, from this child is going to come a nation. And that comes the nation of Israel, the Jewish people from whom the Messiah comes. The major problem is Abraham and Sarah are what? They're old. They're 80 and 90 years old. And there's that whole story. But what is rehearsed in Romans? So Romans is Paul writing, and Abraham's way back here, and all the Jewish history is unfolded. And now Paul is talking about all this time that's passed. And Paul says, but you know what? The purpose of God is not thwarted. The purpose of God is not stopped by the obstacle. The obstacle was Sarah was, how old when Isaac was born? 90? 90, something like that. Abraham was 99, 100. But God had made a promise. And the thing that you and I need to believe is that God has a purpose in our lives. We trust him. We put our faith in his hands. And then he has a purpose. And it reminds me of Philippians 1:6, where it says, he who began a work in you will do what? He'll complete it. He is going to complete that purpose for your life. And I have to say that for me, I'm very glad that God is going to complete his purpose, because I do stupid things along the way. And I think, is that really in the purpose of God? Stupid thoughts or stupid actions or things that are not becoming of a person who has faith in Christ. The promise is God is going to complete his purpose in your life. That's a promise, like the promise made to Abraham and Sarah. And that's a promise that God makes to us. And I am very glad, because it's by his mercy that unfolds. It's not because I'm a good guy. It's not because you're a good guy. It's not because we did something right. It's because God is faithful, and God will work out his plan in your life. Until when? Yeah, till the end. It says until the day of Christ when we go to be in his presence. And so we've got these descriptions of God working out his purpose. What I want to do now is go to some scriptures to talk about Jesus' purpose. Jesus was God who became man in a body, and God became flesh. The word Emmanuel that we just sang in one of those songs is the word God with us. And so God came and he became a man with us, and he showed us through all the New Testament, through the Gospels, how Jesus just gave examples of being God and having God-type qualities. But when the scriptures were written, I'm just going to say these. In Mark chapter 1, verse 38, it says that Jesus' purpose was to come and preach the gospel. And these are the things: that the time was fulfilled, all the prophecies were fulfilled, Jesus came, so the time is fulfilled, the kingdom of God is at hand, the kingdom of God was God with mankind, and that Jesus was preaching this truth to the people. And the two words were repent and believe. Repent means I was going one way, and repent means to actually turn around 180 degrees and go the other way. So I was not believing in God, now I'm believing in God. So repent and believe. Believe who God is and believe that he has a plan for your life. In John chapter 12, verses 27 and 28, it says Jesus, it actually says his purpose was to die and redeem mankind. So he, you know, you and I, God really doesn't tell us how our purpose is going to unfold, what our life is going to contain. Jesus knew he came to die. And he knew he came to die for me and for you that we could be redeemed. You guys, that is such, such great news. There isn't a person sitting here that, as you hear that, you think, wow, that is an amazing truth. So Jesus came to die. And then the last one was in 1 John 3:8, it says, one of the purposes for Jesus to come was for Satan to be destroyed. And praise God that the enemy was vanquished at the cross of Christ. It doesn't mean that he is yet destroyed and gone, but the purposes of Satan is to destroy, and God came and made a way for us to have hope by trusting and believing in him. So Jesus had very specific purpose. Thinking about purpose, I just would like to say these words. Purpose gives us perspective. It helps us. The reason we got into this Spartan race was because my son Josh was having a conversation with one of the Bela boys. And there was kind of, I don't remember exactly the story, but one of the Bela boys said something to Josh like, you know,
"You like to lose."
That's what it was. "Do you like to lose?" And the challenge was on. And Josh was not thinking originally that he would do something like this. And then it was like, we're doing this thing, you know. And so it goes from Josh, I think, to Jamin. And then they're all like, "Dad, we're doing this. How about it?" And I'm thinking not on your life is what I was thinking. And then I thought, you know, I just want to be with my boys. You know, I want to try this thing with my boys. But there was this challenge that was on, and purpose gives you perspective. It's like, okay, maybe I can, you know, so I started running a little and started trying to get worked up. And purpose gives you motivation. Purpose gives you perspective. In this case, too, purpose for salvation gets us motivated. You think about the people around you that have never believed or trusted in Jesus. I don't know about you, but as I get older, so this will be my 55th birthday coming up. I started at Pioneer when I was in my 30s. That feels a long time ago. But you know what I think? So how long am I going to wait to tell my my friend about Jesus? How much more time do I have to tell my friend about Jesus? You know, not only could I be taken out, but they could be taken out. How long are we going to, how long does it take to get motivated to speak up? Yes, our lives, we live a testimony, and that's a good thing. But when it says, go ye therefore and preach the gospel, and some really wise people have said, you know, preach a sermon with your life, and if necessary, use words, right? That's a good anecdote. It's like, okay, my life can be a testimony. But Jesus says, go and preach the gospel. Speak it. Talk about it. And you kind of know, there's lots of things. So purpose gives perspective. Purpose gives us courage to stand. It doesn't ever give us courage to be rude. It's not to be rude, but purpose gives us courage to stand. Purpose gives us courage to speak up. Purpose gives us reason to live. Purpose gives us reason to die. Purpose gives us reason to give it all up. And I think, are there things that have happened in your life as a Christian since before you were a believer and now after you're a believer? Have there been things that God has said to you, it's time to give this up? It's time to walk away from this. It's time to cut the anchor, cut the rope to the anchor that's been holding you back. Purpose gives us the courage to give it up along the way. It gives us courage to go the distance. It gives us the motivation to challenge the comfortable. I don't know how many people I know they're just not even thinking about God. They're not even challenged to think about God. They kind of have their own belief system. And it's not that every word you're going to say will be received by those people, but man, maybe in love, maybe through, Operation Christmas Child or Angel Tree Gifts or a Thanksgiving basket or a harvest carnival, people will see the testimony of our lives and hear about what's happening with God's people and consider believing in Him along the way. So it purpose gives us motivation and courage to live intentionally. The last few years, the word intentional has become really popular. And the phrase is live intentionally. Live with a purpose in mind. Do things not just because you do them, but do them with purpose. And that's the whole idea of living intentionally. So again, Paul is here and he's talking to this young man, Timothy, and he's mentoring him. And he says the words, follow carefully my purpose. What I'd like you to do is turn in your Bible to the book of Acts, chapter 26. Okay. So let me just start with this. You guys remember the Apostle Paul before he became a believer? What was his purpose? That's what his purpose was. At least that's what the result was. Now let me ask you this. Why did he want to kill Christians or imprison them or do whatever? Okay, he was a Pharisee of Pharisees. The people were not following the law. So you had this law established in the Old Testament, and he was under the conviction that, and he knew the law, right? He was very knowledgeable. He was taught by the best. And so he was coming along, but he did not see the Messiah. For all these years, he was well taught, he was well educated, and then this group called the Way, capital W-A-Y, came along, and the Way were the ones who were following Jesus Christ. Jesus was the fulfillment of all this prophecy that had happened through the Old Testament all the way through. But it didn't ring true for Paul. And so what he was trying to do was maintain the purity of Judaism. He was trying to maintain the purity of Judaism, and so he was persecuting anybody that didn't do it the way he was taught to do it, right? What happened on the road to Damascus? He had a letter in hand. He had it from the chief priest, the letter in hand. He was going to persecute the Christians in the city of Damascus, in the news today, Damascus, and he was going to persecute those Christians that were there. What happened to him on the way? The horse did get lighter. God knocked him off his horse. You know what? God showed up in Paul's life. And you know what? That's what happens to us. Is God shows up in our life through some kind of crisis or some kind of circumstance that happens. God shows up and he draws your heart and he says, you need me. Now, in this case, he was very dramatic, and Paul and all the guys that were with him fall down on the ground. And this, in chapter 26, here's what's happened. Paul was a persecutor of Christians. He has the experience of becoming a follower of Christ. Now he is so convinced in his purpose that he is willing to go to prison time after time, be whipped, to be stoned. And it's not like he was saying, hey, come on, stone me, guys. I need you to hit me with some rocks. He was preaching the gospel, and people were against what he was doing. And so he has gone through all of this stuff. Now he is imprisoned, and he is making a plea. He's giving his defense before the king. Acts chapter 26 says this, then Agrippa, that's the king, said to Paul, you are permitted to speak for yourself. Okay, speak up, Paul. So Paul stretched out his hand and he answered for himself. Preliminary words, he says, I think myself happy, King Agrippa, because today I shall answer for myself before you concerning all the things which I am accused by these Jewish people, especially because you, king, are an expert in all the customs and questions which have to do with the Jews. Therefore, I beg you to hear me patiently. And then Paul kind of rehearses his background. He says, my manner of life from my youth, which was spent in the beginning among my own nation at Jerusalem, all the Jews know. Everybody knows about my testimony. They knew how serious I was about my faith and how serious I was about Judaism and how I followed the Hebrew ways. They knew from the first, if they were willing to testify, that according to the strictest sect of our religion, I lived as a Pharisee. He knew all the laws and he kept them. Then he changes and says, now I stand and I am judged for the hope of the promise made by God to our fathers. To this promise, our 12 tribes earnestly serving God night and day hope to attain. And what he was saying to Agrippa was, you know what? I knew all this history. Now I understand that all this history led to the Messiah and led to the cross where we would be forgiven of sin. And now I am committed to teaching because all this prophecy was saying that the Messiah is coming and there will be a Savior and people will be forgiven and redeemed and have hope. And he says, King Agrippa, I'm answering for myself and I'm telling you I'm willing to be chained for this purpose. I am willing to get... See, what happened on the road to Damascus was that Paul's purpose was changed. And when you and I come to Christ, that's what happens. Our purpose is changed. No longer are we living for ourselves. No longer are we just living to put bread on the table. No longer are we living just to do well in our career. No longer are we living just to please human needs that we have. But Paul's life was changed, and Paul became a man with a new purpose. God says that we become people with a new purpose. He was training Timothy, Timothy, be a man of new purpose. Paul was willing to do anything and everything for the cause of Christ. In fact, being chained and being imprisoned and being right now standing in front of Agrippa. And I just want to jump to some other scriptures having to do with that. Can you please turn to Philippians chapter 1? Here are very, very powerful statements that Paul makes. These are not new things to you, but I just want to let you see in Philippians chapter 1, verse 19, starts out like this. There's a lot of history coming into this verse, but verse 19 says, "For I know that this will turn out for my deliverance through your prayer." You guys, he believes in God. He has been imprisoned. And he just says, you know what? All these things that are happening in my life, they're going to turn out for the good of the gospel. I don't know if we say that. I don't know if we can say, God, all these difficult things that have happened in my life, they're going to turn out to the good of the gospel. You know, part of it is, what do we commit our purpose to? And he has committed his purpose to living for Christ, living for God. And he says in verse 20, according to my earnest expectation and hope that in nothing I shall be ashamed. He says, I won't be ashamed for anything that I live for Christ. Then he says, but with all boldness as always, so now also Christ will be magnified in my body, whether by life or by death. Would you just catch the gravity of that? He says, so now also Christ will be magnified in my body, whether by life or by death. Paul says, you know what? Whatever the cost is, if I am alive, I'm going to live for Christ. If I am dead, it'll be to Christ's glory. Whether I live or whether I die, and I think, man, that's a gutsy thing to say, you know? He basically says, God, I am yours. I will be spent for you. If you leave me here, I'm going to share the gospel with people. You guys, Paul was so changed in his purpose. He was so changed in his soul that he was willing to do anything and everything to share that hope with the people that are in his life, whether it was the king that he was standing in front of, whether it was the guard who was guarding him while he was in chains, whether it was on the ship when it was being shipwrecked and he was telling the people, believe in God. He said, whether by life or by death, what happens in this body is to your glory, God. You know what? He was convinced. He was changed. His purpose had changed. Paul says to Timothy, keep this purpose. Timothy knew Paul's testimony. Timothy was not unaware of what Paul had gone through. The scourgings and the stonings and the imprisonments. And he says, Timothy, don't lose your focus. Don't lose the goal of the end of the race. Get through the obstacles so that you can keep my purpose in mind while you're running this race. So he says, and a couple other scriptures. The next verse says, verse 20, 21 says, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. How many times have we heard those verses? For me to live is Christ and to die is gain. verse 22 says, but if I live on in the flesh, this will mean fruit for my labor. Yet, what shall I choose? I cannot tell. I'm hard pressed. Lord, I'd rather be in heaven with you, but if you're going to leave me here, I'm going to keep sharing the gospel with other people. Mike mentioned Mary, who is the owner of Goldvine Grill. Sherry Fitzpatrick is a dear, dear friend of Mary. And Sherry was in tears sitting right here this morning. Sherry has been sharing with Mary about Christ for some years now, probably over the last 2 or 3 years, she's been sharing Christ with her. Now Mary has leukemia. And Sherry was in tears, and Sherry invited Mary to her home this afternoon. So right now, while we're sitting here, Mary is in Sherry's home. And she just said, my prayer is that her heart would open up to the gospel. So we just pray, God, draw Mary's heart to you. You know, Mary has a purpose, and her purpose is not wrong in her life. Her purpose is just unbelieving. And Sherry is willing. I mean, she's at this point of crisis because crisis has come into Sherry's life. Her friend has leukemia. And Sherry is motivated to share Jesus with her. And we can't ever be guaranteed that the listener is going to respond to Jesus. But right now, Sherry's purpose is, I mean, talk about your perspective getting changed. Talk about your motivation getting changed. Sherry has Mary on her heart, and she wants her to know the Savior. She not only wants her to be healed, but she wants her to come to hope and faith and forgiveness in Christ Jesus. So many scriptures and so little time. Do you remember the scripture, Ephesians 2, 8, and 9? They're real important to us. The scriptures say this, for by grace you have been saved through faith. So by the gift of God, the grace of God, we have been saved. We got a new purpose. By grace you have been saved through faith, not of yourselves. It's nothing that we've done. It's just this overbounding love of God that has come upon us, the mercy of God. We have been saved through faith, not of yourselves. It's not of things we did, not of works, lest any person should boast. Then the next verse says, we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. So we believe and then we live for him. And what Paul is saying in Ephesians, he's talking about the fact that we are a vehicle of the love of God to the rest of the world. That's why we do Harvest Fair. It's not just because we want to burn out and be worn out serving 150 corn dogs again. It's because the little kids who bring their families need to hear about Jesus. That's why this place is crowded and smells like a grocery store at Thanksgiving, because we want to hand these turkeys out to be able to say, we care about you, and we want to tell you about Jesus. That's why Kate and the team does clothes. We want to tell these people about Jesus. We want to love them genuinely, meet them where their needs are, and share the hope that we have inside. That's what it's all about. One last scripture, and this is the last one. 2 Timothy chapter 4. It's right past the place where we've been looking at this purpose word. Since we did this race yesterday, I thought I'd tie in a race verse. And it really makes sense to me. So Paul says these words to Timothy. He says, Timothy, my son, I'm already being poured out as a drink offering. It's like before God, my life is being poured out for God to use it for his glory. The time of my departure is at hand. Paul says, I know that I'm going to die and I'm going to go be with Christ. He says, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day. And not to me only, can you read those last words with me? But also to all who have loved his appearing. So Paul says, I'm willing to lay it all out for you, God. Timothy, would you be willing? And there is awaiting you a blessing in being with the Lord. So much that we can't even talk about that right now. He said, you know what, Timothy? It's not just for me. It's for everyone who is awaiting his appearing. That when Christ receives us, takes us home, or we go to be with him. So, purpose. I just wanted to talk about the word purpose. I wanted to talk about how God changes the life of a person. I wanted to talk about this unbounded love of God that has been given to us, and now we have a new goal, a new purpose. No matter what the obstacles are, we say, God, I want to finish this race. I want to proclaim you to the people that I know. And you know, I've often said to us, just think of names of people that you would love to be saved. And maybe just have that be part of your closing prayer. God, I really want these people to be saved. Not only show it with our lives, but be willing at times to speak up. And maybe you just tell them your story. Maybe you say, you know what, there was a time when I was without Christ. And he came into my life. By the way, I love the fact, me and Rob love the fact that you come to church. Thank you. It's a great encouragement to me. It's nice to have somebody to preach to. It's also nice to be in the same race. So let's pray together. God, I thank you for the privilege that it is to be a believer. God, I thank you that you have drawn our hearts to you. And God, if you are drawing hearts to you, and you are right now, that people would say, okay, God, I believe. Father, I pray that you would also put on our hearts names of people, our family, our neighbors, our friends, the people we work with. And Lord, that we would be willing to speak up. I think, Lord, even sometimes when they're antagonistic, they really want the words of hope. So, Lord, we just commit to the race. Lord, help us not to get stopped by the obstacles. Yesterday, my boys pushed me over some of the obstacles. Sometimes we need that, Lord. Thank you for the work that you're doing and that you'll never finish until you take us home. Thank you for this body of believers. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Yep.